Well, let's start with who. So when you have an opportunity created in your systems and environments, you can either connect all of the people in the buying team, maybe just the primary person, maybe all of the contacts that you have for that particular account to that opportunity. Now, do you want to include all of those people or do you want to just include some of those people? So who is the first question that you want to answer? Because that's going to determine what activities are attributed to that opportunity. And the broader you go, the broader your model is going to be. And then the what. And we kind of touched on what before, George. That's like, what kind of activities do I want to include? Do I want to just include marketing campaign activities or do I want website activities? What do I want to include? And then the when is really about what window or I want to look at. You know, am I willing, if an opportunity is created, do I want to look back 3 years to see what activities happened? Or do I want to create a window that's much tighter, like maybe only things that happened in the 6 months prior to the opportunity creation really influence that opportunity? And then the where is really about the tool. Where do I want to see this? Where do I want to use it? And what tools do I want to really look at?
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Marketing Smarts listeners, I'm super excited because we're going to get a little bit nerdy. We're going to dive into a word called attribution, and really we're going to talk about revenue attribution, the puzzle that is for many B2B marketers, revenue attribution. Insights for you, the B2B marketers, I'm really excited too because it's going to be Tish Millsap coming along this journey with us. We're going to talk about what keeps Tish up at night pertaining to revenue attribution and you, the B2B marketers, or just the marketing space in general. We're going to talk about what in the world do we even mean when we talk about revenue attribution. It could mean different things to different people. We're going to talk about the hurdles, success, maybe some of the hype along the way. But hey, Tish Millsap has over 20 years of experience with a large range of marketing functions, including strategy, demand generation, marketing automation, product marketing, brand messaging, and creative management. Her consulting business focuses on her helping traditional marketing organizations become revenue-focused marketing organizations by building the processes, infrastructure, and skills needed marketing teams need to drive qualified leads and ultimately business results for their company. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, get your notepad out. Get ready. Let's go ahead and hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll get into the good stuff.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right, you can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, with that out of the way, it's time for Mastering the Revenue Attribution Puzzle, Insights for B2B Marketer Tish Millsap. Hey, you know what time it is. Hey, Marketing Smarts listeners, it's your boy George B. Thomas, and I'm super excited because once again, we're mastering it, or at least that's what the title said that you as a marketer clicked. We're trying to have a conversation around revenue attribution puzzle insights for you, the Marketing Smarts listeners, the B2B marketers, the people in the trenches. You know we love you. So first of all, Tish, how the heck are you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Better now that you're here because if you were not here, this podcast, well, it probably wouldn't be possible. So ladies and gentlemen, I am talking with Tish Millsap today.
Tish, let's just go ahead and jump into the beginning question, and that is, when we mentioned the words, or when the marketer saw the words revenue attribution, I really do feel like it could be, oh, I don't know, 27,000 different things dependent upon how you think about those words. And so that we can level set and have a foundation for the beginning of and the rest of this podcast, when you say revenue attribution, when we're using it in the rest of this podcast, what exactly do we mean? In other words, how do you define revenue attribution?
Well, you're exactly right. It can mean a lot of different things, but all of those definitions really come down to one thing, and that is we have activities that are happening, and we want to connect those to the outcome of revenue being created. That's really the essence of revenue attribution. Marketing teams in kind of old school, they didn't really do revenue attribution. They were responsible for, you know, these are the activities that we did. This is the number of leads that we generated, and this is the budget, this is what we spent, but they weren't responsible for revenue. But marketers today want to connect what they're doing to revenue, and that's what revenue attribution really allows them to do.
I love that, the ROI, the return on investment, this age that we're moving into that marketing and sales is more aligned, which, by the way, if you missed last week's episode on sales and marketing alignment with Matt Hines, you definitely want to pick that one up after this one. He's absolutely amazing. So here's the thing. I do want to go off the beaten path for a second quite quickly on this journey with you, because you mentioned elements or events. Like, when you think about revenue attribution and the things that the B2B marketer should be paying attention to and trying to tie back to revenue, where does your mind go with that?
Well, there are a lot of things that you can put into an attribution model, and that is one of the major decisions that you have to make when you are trying to do this. Fundamentally, you want to have your major activities all included in your model. So, are you doing paid media like Google Ads and LinkedIn and things like that? How is content downloads on your website, events that you're attending, webinars that you're doing? That's really the core of what needs to be included in attribution. But you can also include things like page visits to your website, phone calls that your BDRs are making, meetings that are set. All of these can be put into a more sophisticated model. But the basic bread and butter is the basic activities that you're doing as a marketing team. Where is your focus? What are you executing on?
What is your focus and what are you executing on? Jot that down real quick. Tish, in this next question, I feel like I could ask this question and it might be able to go seven different ways. And one of the things is you have mentioned the word model multiple times. I don't know if we'll be able to get into like, what do you mean by model and what are the models? Also, I don't know if we're going to go into strategy versus tactics, because sometimes I think people just, they just jump in feet first and they're like, "Wee, this is revenue something. Let's do it." So I'll just ask the question, Tish, so we can get into whatever direction you want to go into. What are some crucial elements that B2B marketers, the Marketing Smarts listeners, should be focused on regarding revenue attribution?
A lot of people that I work with, when we start talking about revenue attribution, they jump right to the tool. Like, I need to buy a tool to do this. The tool is kind of further down in the decision chain. So I have developed a framework. I call it the who, what, where, when, and why framework for marketing attribution. Before you even pick a tool, you need to really answer, starting with the why. Why am I doing this? What questions am I trying to answer? I just started working with a new client and they'd already purchased a tool. Fine. I was happy to do that. But we started getting into it and I said, well, you know, when we're talking about configuring this, what are the questions you're trying to answer? They're like, well, we want to do revenue attribution. I said, well, in what sense? Do you want to understand the performance of your paid channels versus your free channels? Do you want to understand what's creating opportunities or what's closing opportunities? You know, let's get some questions on the table. So the first thing that I really focus on is like the why. Why are you doing this? What questions are you trying to answer? And if we want, we can go into the who, what, when, and where questions as well.
Yeah, I think actually if we can just go off the beaten path and give you time to kind of unpack that, I think it's going to be a great journey for the Marketing Smarts listeners.
Well, let's start with who. So when you have an opportunity created in your systems and environments, You can either connect all of the people in the buying team, maybe just the primary person, maybe all of the contacts that you have for that particular account to that opportunity. Now, do you want to include all of those people or do you want to just include some of those people? So who is the first question that you want to answer? Because that's going to determine what activities are attributed to that opportunity. And the broader you go, the broader your model is going to be. And then the what. And we kind of touched on what before, George. That's like, what kind of activities do I want to include? Do I want to just include marketing campaign activities or do I want website activities? What do I want to include? And then the when is really about what window or I want to look at. You know, am I willing, if an opportunity is created, do I want to look back 3 years to see what activities happened? Or do I want to create a window that's much tighter, like maybe only things that happened in the 6 months prior to the opportunity creation really influence that opportunity? And then the where is really about the tool. Where do I want to see this? Where do I want to use it? And what tools do I want to really look at?
Love it. Marketing Smarts listeners, I hope you had your notepad ready, your iPad ready, whatever tablet you use. We're not here for a battle of Apple versus Android. I'm just saying, hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, you are taking notes. If not, you've reached the first rewind point to go back and actually jot down some notes for that. Now, one of the things I love to do, Tish, is, and by the way, I'm just a big fan of Mythbusters. This is why this question always makes it into the show. Are there common misconceptions, myths, if you will, about revenue attribution that you would like to use the Marketing Smarts podcast to be like, I want to debunk this right now? Like, where does your mind go with that?
I think it's the idea that you only need one model. And I kind of get this a lot from people that I work with on this. They're like, well, what model should we use? And I'm like, well, different models tell you different things. And here's, George, where we can get a little bit into the model. So just to throw some crazy names out there, there's J-shape, there's W-shape, there's U-shape, there's decay models, there's all these different kinds of models. But you should use a model to answer the kinds of questions. So if I'm trying to understand what sort of marketing activities are pushing things to become opportunities, I might use a last touch model. And that would tell me what is the thing that happened right before that opportunity was created. If I'm trying to get a general understanding of how all my marketing activities kind of work together to create opportunities, I might use a multi-touch even spread model. But so you kind of get my drift here. You got to pick models that answer the questions that you're trying to ask, which goes back to the why. If you haven't defined what you're trying to answer, what questions you're trying to answer, you can't really decide which kind of model to use because there's kind of infinite options out there. You can do custom things, you can do data science-y things, but there's a lot of different options. So one model is probably not going to be enough, although it's a good starting place.
I love this idea of you might want to look at multiple models. And to be honest with you, you gave the Marketing Smarts, I hope they know, that you gave them a layer of gold that doesn't get talked about a lot of. And that is the idea of understanding the question for what model to be used. Because there's so many marketers, I've had conversations where they're like, yeah, I just kind of poke around and I look, but I'm not real sure. And that is not the place that you want to be with revenue attribution. So let's keep moving forward, Tish. When you think about revenue attribution, maybe it's learning about it, maybe it's leveraging at the organization. And by the way, I'm about to throw a whole lot of words at you. Are there any tips, tricks, hacks, templates, mindsets, frameworks that a B2B marketer might actually be able to leverage or use so that they can do revenue attribution a little bit better, a little bit easier, or dare I say, even use it at all?
It is a tough challenge for a lot of organizations. And I think one of the problems out there is that all the vendors out there kind of have their own flavor of cake on this. And so when you're trying to ingest information and learn more about attribution modeling, if you're going to the vendor sites and reading their content, it's very much about their philosophy. And I like to give a vendor agnostic view of how to think about attribution methodology. And that's kind of what I'm doing at the upcoming Marketing Profs event, because I feel like it's really important for you to look at things just from what your business needs and your business requires. The other sort of tip is that you probably already have something in your tech stack that does attribution. If you have HubSpot, if you have Salesforce, if you have Power BI or something like that, you already have the tools to do kind of basic attribution models. And that's probably a good place to start. Not everybody needs to spend between $50,000 and $100,000 out of the gate to get a tool when you can do some of the basics in-house with what you already have. So that would be my other tip, is that be conscious of what content you're ingesting and who it's coming from. And two, look at your own tech stack and see if there's something you can use that you already have.
Yeah, it's funny. My brain works in funny ways. When you started to mention the price of some of these tools, I was like, it's like the chicken and the egg, right? You got to spend revenue so that you can actually do revenue attribution. Man, what if it wipes out all your revenue? Not a good idea. But I love this, where we're going with the mindsets and items like that. So Tish, what I want to do is I want to keep kind of diving down. And one of the things on the Marketing Smarts podcast that I really like to do is be able to give kind of the side of, you know, one coin, two sides, if you will. And so there's, by the way, these two things I have started to learn with all of these interviews, that they're actually more entwined than we give them credit, even though they feel like they're polar opposites on two different ends of a field or something along those lines. But I want to dive in first to one side of this coin, and that is, what are the challenges? What are the hurdles? What are the potholes? Like, what have you seen really get in the way of B2B marketers when trying to actually implement revenue attribution for their organizations?
It certainly can be challenging. A lot of these vendors will say, oh, I can have you up and running in 30 days or something like that. And that is true. They're not saying something that isn't true, but only if your underlying data is clean. So that is probably the number one thing that I go in and help organizations with, is like, okay, how do we normalize your data so that when it's ingested by the tool, it makes sense? You know, are you using the same kind of campaign methodology? Are you using the same kind of form submissions? Is all this stuff cleaned up and organized in your system? Because, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And that is probably the biggest challenge that you have to overcome in order to make these models work. But I want to say the other side of the coin, kind of to your point, George, the yin and the yang of this, just as important is, how do you get buy-in in your organization? So interestingly, this last engagement that I worked on, I was brought in by the CFO, and I've never been brought in by the CFO. It's always been the VP of marketing or the CMO or whatever. And I was like, this is going to be interesting, because the CFO is really focused on, you know, how are we spending our money and what's the ROI on that money? And so he's just been a great advocate in the organization to get the buy-in across the board for how we're doing this attribution work. So if you're coming in at this from marketing, first thing, you got to get your sales ops team on board. They have to agree to the methodology. Whatever model you choose, whatever inputs you choose, the sales organization has to be on board, or they're never going to believe what it is that the model puts out. So I think the buy-in is something you cannot underestimate how important that is, because again, you'll implement this fancy tool, you'll do all the hard work, and then nobody believes the reports once they come out.
Yeah, this idea of buy-in, I mean, it's rampant in almost every part of what you try to do in an organization. And for some reason, people just leave it lay on the floor and many times don't think about it. So I love that you brought that up. The other side of this coin, too, I want to keep digging into this a little bit, because I really want to be able to show the bullseye, if you will, the finish line, even though a finish line is never a finish line. It's just the start of another race. Anyway, we'll stop getting metaphorical here for a second. The idea is, when it comes to revenue attribution, what the heck does success look like? How do we determine if we are effectively, or have effectively, implemented revenue attribution in our organization?
Well, I think it kind of comes out in two ways. One is that you are having formal discussions where you are looking at the attribution reports and making decisions on it. So you're like, oh, you know, it looks like SEO is performing really well. Let's go ahead and hire that SEO agency who's going to help us improve in that area. Let's invest the money in that. Or, you know, that trade show really didn't deliver any opportunities last year that became closed one. Let's not do that trade show again. But the other part of it is an informal basis. So you're in a conversation and people randomly bring up the tool and say, hey, let's look and see how that white paper performed because it was on this specific topic and I'm wondering if we could enhance that or change it or use it again or something like that. Let's see what the attribution to that particular white paper is. And that's when you've really ingrained the attribution tool into your organization, when it's being used both formally and informally.
I love that so much. And actually, what's funny is it kind of tickled the brain a little bit because I want to go off the beaten path for a second. Because this whole time, we kind of been talking about revenue attribution, which if you kind of think it's like we're talking about reporting, right? We're literally talking about measuring revenue. And so marketers, like, I don't want them to be like me. I get easily confused. So when you think about all the reporting that we have to do, how can marketers integrate revenue attribution into their existing analytics and like measuring or reporting process? Is there something that we can unhook to help them with that idea?
You're so right. It basically is reporting. Now, I look at the span of reporting that marketers do, and I kind of have 5 buckets for it. So there's what I call backroom metrics. These are things like email activity, form completions, or just things that marketers care about and nobody else does. So you don't show that data to anybody outside of marketing. Then you have campaign performance. I'm looking at individual campaigns, how many are turning it into MQLs, you know, and what's the status of those particular campaigns. And then I think about operational metrics. And I'm like, okay, how many outstanding MQLs do we have? How many activities have been done against those MQLs? Things like that. The next bucket is kind of the bread and butter. It's volume, velocity, and conversion rates. So I want to know the volume of MQLs and opportunities. I want to know the conversion rate of those MQLs. I want to know how fast they're moving through the funnel. And then the last bucket is your attribution bucket. So attribution is all those different things that we talked about, and how am I attributing all those things that I looked at before, all those campaigns, how am I attributing those to revenue? So it is part of an entire reporting suite, and it is its own thing, but it is basically a report.
I don't know about you, marketing smarts listeners, but I'm glad I asked that question because it definitely is rewind point number 2 and listing out on your iPad, your Android device, I don't care, chalk on a wall, or if you got spray paint handy, the 5 layers of what was just listed by Tish and how that might actually help you with your reporting on a monthly, quarterly, yearly basis and what you're looking at and talking about. By the way, I didn't mean to miss daily because there are some reports that you might need to look at daily.
Those backroom numbers, yeah.
Numbers, you're going to want to look at those every day. You're going to want to look at operational metrics every day, but they have their place and they're not the same as what we're talking about here, but they are related.
Yeah, this has been an amazing, amazing journey down the reporting attribution or revenue attribution puzzle. Again, my brain is still trying to tell me to go to reporting, but it's revenue attribution. It is a bunch of puzzle pieces. We have gotten great insights and we're maybe on our way to mastering it. So we didn't do too much of a clickbaity title for you marketers as a marketer, but let's go ahead and land the plane. Tish, what in the world do you want to leave with the audience? You see, here's the thing. You're on a journey. I'm on a journey. They're on a journey. We get these nuggets, right? I like to call these nuggets wisdom along the way. So what are words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the Marketing Smarts listeners regarding revenue attribution, maybe their life and how it, no, I'm just kidding. Just about revenue attribution.
Okay. I can't advise on that. Probably not on your life. So I think there are 3 things that when you're about to go on this journey, there are 3 things to think about. It's your technical app infrastructure. Is it ready? You need a readiness assessment before you even look at a tool. What are my business processes that support that technical infrastructure? You know, is everybody creating campaigns in the same way and doing the same kinds of things? Data likes to be uniform. And then the third thing is preparing for that buy-in, having those conversations even before you've gotten a tool, because Nothing irritates people more for you to say, well, I bought this tool, I implemented it, and here's the report. And you didn't bring them along in the journey. Tell them early on, this is what we're thinking about. Get their thoughts up front and make sure you accommodate for that, for what kinds of reports you're going to develop, because that will save you later on the problems with getting buy-in.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing, your number one execution opportunity after this podcast? Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag, #MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you'd leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app, but we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or a friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast, when we talk with Kelly Walensiak about the power of second chances in B2B marketing. I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.